Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 427, The New Talk. We are live at the Citizens Council for Health Freedom annual dinner. And we're going to talk to Michelle Bachmann, former congressman, who's been kind of out of sight for a while. And I got a feeling that she's going to have a lot to say about politics in Washington and here in Minnesota in this podcast. Now, the Citizens Council for Health Freedom does a lot of good work to inform people about the implications and the extent of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare in terms of things like privacy and costs and the disposition of Minsure, which is the Minnesota health exchange for Obamacare. And the problem is, I know once I start talking to Congressman Bachmann, and we talk a lot, that I'm not going to have very much time to do anything other than talk to Congressman Bachmann. So I'm going to do that. And Twyla Braze, who's going to speak here tonight, will be on a future podcast, 428. We'll talk a little bit about what was done here and what they said here. But tonight, Michelle Bachmann is here. She's not going to speak, but I'm sure she's going to be honored at least once or twice by the folks from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. So we'll get to that. So that's what's happening in podcast 427, the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. You've heard me talking about xgovernmentcars.com for years. Actually, Ed Johnson at X Government Cars is the longest sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. He started with me at the very beginning of the Bob Davis Podcast, all the way back to the beginning. And so it's really fun to announce that X Government Trucks has now opened in Forest Lake, Minnesota. X Government Trucks. Now, xgovernmenttrucks.com is open at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake. You can call them at 763-777-8782. The new X Government Trucks Mega Truck Center features dozens of the best brands: Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. If you need a van, if you need a work truck, if you need a snow plow, X Government Trucks is the place to check out. You can drive right through the lot and you can see the selection. But the main thing is, X Government Trucks has lenders for everybody at all credit levels. They can get you approved fast. Here's what you do: you find your vehicle and then you apply online and you get fast pre-approval, and you're rolling. X Government Trucks has the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, so you buy with confidence. And as always, they love taking trades. They take trades. The highest values are paid every day without all of the bull that sometimes goes with that. So here's the deal: get out to xgovernmenttrucks.com today, 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. Once again, the number is 763-777-8782. Did I bring the bullhorn to this event? No, I did not, so I'm just going to whisper it. You ready? X Government Trucks.
Oh, you're a braver woman than I am. I never was a hockey mom. Yeah, good for you.
You would have been, if you were a hockey mom, you would have been
the pit bull.
You would have been, well, you would have been at the hockey rink all the time.
I would have.
Oh, so many kids.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
So I'm going to tell a quick story because I love this story. The last time that we actually had a face-to-face interview was at the convention in 2012 when you were wearing a white dress and being trailed by a million people with cameras and media people that it was in the midst of the 2012 campaign at the convention. And it was like the seas parted and you came through with this giant crowd. And then we had to turn around and they pushed the table up against us because they were all trying to get in there. So you're a private citizen now, former congressman. How does it feel?
It feels wonderful. And what I tell people is it's a delight to be reacquainted with the human pace of life, because I had been living a superhuman pace for really 17 years, I would say. And it was stepped up even beyond anything a person can imagine in the last 8 years. And it's not whining. I'm just stating the fact that's the way that it is. And when I do something, I do it 110%. I give it everything. And with Congress, I didn't leave anything on the table. I gave it absolutely everything, and I'm so glad I did. I'm glad that I made that choice not to be safe and to actually go and be a citizen legislator and give it. And then I self-term limited after.
Well, then you're getting it back, really. at an event like tonight where you were honored several times by...
Oh, people were very generous today. Yeah, they were really generous in their praise. And I hear it a lot when I, because now what I do is I travel around the country and I speak on different topics to different groups. And people constantly say, you've got to go back and run again. When are you going to run again? We need you back. And so what that tells me is I made the right decision to give it everything that I had. Because one thing people knew is that I was authentic and sincere and genuine. This was not about me. It was not about advancing a personal agenda or my personal career. Even when I ran for president, this wasn't about me wanting to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. This was really, the reason why I ran was to get rid of Obamacare. We, you know, we're here tonight in an event that is talking a lot about Obamacare, but that's that's why I ran for president, because as I casted about in D.C., among Republicans, I couldn't find five elected Republicans in Washington that I believed would stand up and have the backbone to repeal Obamacare. Republicans. What people don't remember back in 2012 when I ran for president, none of the candidates, none of the Republican men that were running for president were going to repeal Obamacare. It wasn't even in the Republican Party platform.
It doesn't seem like it's in the it doesn't seem like it's in the Republican Party platform now.
It's more now. I mean, when I ran, I think that was my contribution in running in 2012. My signature issue was I was going to repeal Obamacare, because I knew I had the titanium spine in the backbone, and there's a lot of people in bed with Obamacare, and I was happy to stand up against the insurance companies and the AMA and the Nursing Association, all the people who were in on the take behind closed doors, and I knew Obamacare. I understood it. I was the chief author of the repeal bill of Obamacare. This is what I worked on. And so that's why I knew that Obamacare would be the nail in the coffin of our nation going forward, and we could not survive socialized medicine. It would take us down.
But and yet now, during the campaign, and it's got to be interesting to you for you to watch. Well, in 16, yeah. Now we're hearing the same thing. Well, repealing it, I don't know. I mean, you have, Jeb Bush in particular said, well, we're going to fix it. We're not going to repeal it. We're going to fix it.
Well, and look at Jeb's numbers.
Jeb's numbers. But I mean, Donald Trump's numbers are huge, and he doesn't seem like he wants to repeal it either.
Well, I think one thing Donald Trump that I give him credit for is that it seems like he is educable. And when he learns new information, he's willing to change course. That is worth a lot. If you can get somebody who's willing to figure something out, I think his business background recognizes that if you're not making money, you're not moving forward. And so you change course. And that was one thing that he understood. He wanted to come out on top. He wanted to win. He wanted to make money. And I think that idea is very American.
Well, you're hoping that, because he still says he's not, he doesn't seem like he's against Obamacare.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't sat down and talked to him. I know him. I was up in his office a couple months ago talking to him. So, I mean, I have a relationship with Donald Trump. He is a person who is open to hearing things. That is a big plus. He isn't a politician. He's a promoter. I mean, he's the P.T. Barnum of our day, and he's really good at it. And I'm really glad he's in the race, to be honest with you. He is shaking it up like nobody's business. He's driving the conversation. And the one thing that is going to really put our country in a bad way is if we keep up this immigration thing. And I'm talking about legal and illegal immigration. I spent a lot of time working on this immigration issue when I was in Congress. I went down to the border quite a bit and dealt with it and learned more information. And no one takes in more immigrants, legal and illegal, than the United States. And we can't do it anymore. And Calvin Coolidge, back in the 1920s, hit the pause button on immigration. And we really shut our doors and took very few people in and had very stringent requirements. In other words, it had to be good for America to bring people in. And during those years, about 40, 50 years, the wages went up in America, and the benefits went up for Americans. And when we opened the doors back up, when Ted Kennedy destroyed our immigration system in 1967, we've seen wages go down, benefits go down. And I think that's one thing that I hope that Trump is going to do, is push the pause button on immigration.
I want to ask you about the situation with the speaker fight.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the middle of a lot of that.
Yes, I was.
And what's your take on what's going on?
I think it's the greatest thing in the world, because what's happened is that Republicans are conservatives at heart. heart. And they want their leadership to reflect who they are. And what they've done is they've said, hey, John Boehner, you did not reflect what we sent all of you people to do for us, and we're not going to take it. This is really healthy, so that the party is trying to reconnect with who we are. Take a lesson from the opposite side. Every time Barack Obama has run, from the 2008 election when he ran for president the first time, every 2 years, whether he was running for his re-election 4 years later or whether he was running in the midterms to keep his agenda going, every election from 2008 forward, the left has gone further to the left. They appeal to their base, and they go further radical. If you look at Republicans, the Republicans continually kick their base in the shins and say, get out of the way, we don't need you. Well, look at the Republican Party. They have been absolutely decimated by the fact that they won't do what their base wants. So now they're given the wake-up call. They've been given a wake-up call, and the establishment can't believe it. It's like, what? You don't want us? We don't care. We get to call the shots.
What does the base want?
The base does not. The base wants an end to amnesty for illegal immigration. They want a fence built at the border. They want to have an end to illegal immigrants. They want an end to legal immigration of the quantity of people that were coming in. And they want to see wages go up. They want jobs to go up, and they want the benefits to go up. And that's the number one thing they want. They want immigration stop. And number two, they are sick of this political correctness on dealing with terrorism. They get that Islam is the problem, because Islam is the problem. If you read the Quran and the Hadith and the sayings of Muhammad, Islam is the problem. And that's why people want our elected officials to keep them safe. We're not going to be safe if you let tens of thousands of Syrians in here, because even our FBI director admitted there is no vetting for these Syrians. The proof is in the pudding, when our own Defense Department couldn't even vet more than 75 Syrians to fight against the Islamic State. That was Obama's big effort, that he was going to defeat the Islamic State by training, finding moderate Syrians that we were going to vet. We found 75 of them. We spent $500 million and trained 75 Syrians. And guess what? In the first 20 minutes when they were on the battlefield, they ran and they abdicated and joined the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. So, and they took this $500 million worth of American equipment with them. So all we did is run a training program for the Islamic State. I went to the microphone in the Republican conference behind closed doors and warned John Boehner and our Republican leadership. I said, don't pass this request from Barack Obama for $500 million. All you're going to do is operate a training program for Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. And so, you know, I was the little black cloud in the Republican conference, because that's what I would do. Every week, I'd be going to the microphone and delivering bad news. Don't do it. Don't do it. And anyway, so unfortunately, I was proven right on that.
Well, let's talk about Minnesota, because you hear the same thing in Minnesota, and we hear a lot about moderate leadership.
Let me add one more thing on this whole thing with the speaker's race. The Republicans.
Wait a minute, we have to take a break. No, I'm kidding.
The Republicans in Congress better get it right this time, because if they give the speaker's gavel to somebody who's a pro-amnesty, establishment-owned individual, the base is going to say, you find somebody else to lick the stamps on your packages, and you find somebody else to drop your literature, I'm done with you. I love Paul Ryan. He's a good friend, but Paul Ryan is the establishment. Paul Ryan is as pro-amnesty as you can possibly get in the United States Congress. That doesn't fly with our base, and I think that it's not a new direction, and Paul has put his conditions out there. He doesn't want to be the person who goes out over the country. He wants to stand and be the messenger in Washington, D.C. That's not going to work for the speaker job, because what he's essentially going to do is what the Republican establishment wants done for legislation. That's not what the base wants.
Congressman, I got to interrupt because I got to mention Eric and Aaron Lucero, a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with folks in the North Metro, Minneapolis and St. Paul area. History demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. We know this. Many people people continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or move up to their next home. Now, here's the problem with this. In the last 5 years or so, there's been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time. So you have a lot of houses that have been empty, or you have had houses renovated by fly-by-night house flippers. And to negotiate that risk, and it's a fair risk, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. It's also true interest rates have been near historically low levels for many years, and there's pressure to increase interest rates. They may do it in December. So right now is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. It's really fun to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. As I said, it's a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team with expertise and experience to share with you. Here's what you do. Get in contact. Reach out to Eric and Aaron Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor in Minneapolis and St. Paul. For real real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com. You can reach out to them at 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. So let's continue with Congressman Bachman.
Their argument, I'm not saying I agree with it, but their argument is, hey, you know, we've got people from districts that aren't necessarily as hard, you know, quote unquote, right as some districts, and you know, we can't always just be playing to the base.
They never play to the base. How about playing to the base 5% of the time? They don't even play to the base 5% of the time. I live that world. I know what it's like. They don't even play 5% of the time. And you've got as radical can get on the left, and they keep getting more radical. Why? Because they advance their agenda. What Republicans need to do is advance your agenda. Make the case. I came home to Minnesota. How much bluer do you get than Al Frankenland? I came home to Minnesota and I made the case. I stuck my neck out. I put my neck up out of the foxhole. I never played it safe. And I tried to make the case in Minnesota as much as I possibly could for a conservative agenda. That's part of what a member of Congress has to do, because if you're not on offense, you're losing. And Republicans don't...
Why don't they go on offense?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Republicans don't like messy. They don't like messy, and they don't like people being mad at them. They don't want editorial boards being mad at them. They want to appear, quote, reasonable, and the media will rake somebody like me over the coals, and it's not fun to be raked over the coals. But why are you there? We need to be able to have Republicans who can make the case for how great choice and opportunities are,
and how bad
bureaucracy is.
To move it along, one of the big issues in Minnesota is it doesn't seem like the people are in large enough numbers to provide the ground troops to get this done, to bring reinforcements to Washington.
Right, but you start somewhere.
Why aren't they?
Because we don't have any Republican leadership left in Minnesota. There isn't any. There's none anywhere. You tell me where it is. It isn't in the party. You don't see it in whether it's the state house or whether you see it even at the federal level. You just don't see Republican leadership. What you see is an even greater amount of caving in to the left agenda, because nobody wants to get hit by stray bullets. They just don't want to get hit by the liberals' stray bullets. And so it's easier to just be quiet. Put your head down, offer some liberal initiatives so you look like you're reasonable, and let somebody else carry the water. And what I'm telling you is that is a recipe not only for permanent minority irrelevancy, because the conservative voice and the conservative view in Minnesota today is now down in the danger zone of irrelevancy, because nobody is willing to make the case. And I think it's really unfortunate, because we used to have a stronger voice in this state. People were willing to stand up. Now people are shamed into thinking they're a racist or a bigot if they advance the conservative viewpoint. But the truth is, no one has been hurt more by liberalism than the poor, the disenfranchised, the disabled. and people who just don't have a shot, minorities in particular. I think the African Americans in the inner cities, the kids of African American parents have been hurt more than anybody. They've been destroyed by the school systems. And if you look at their graduation rates and their reading rates and all the rest, and I talked to Keith Ellison about
especially
this.
Especially Minneapolis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What does he say?
When I first went in, I said, I was talking to him about choice in education and giving parents an ability to be able to put their kid anywhere they want. Oh, no, no, no. Keith wouldn't go there. And I said, well, what are you going to compromise on? Is there anything you compromise on? How about if kids would do better?
There's a lot of talk, and you heard Dan talking about talk is cheap. A lot of talk and a lot of anger and frustration in Minnesota, but it isn't connected to anything. I mean, I don't know if that's your experience, but what I see is people go to meetings, they get upset, they go home, and they're not doing anything.
I don't see very many people go to meetings. I see very, very...
Not BPOU meetings. They're going to Tea Party meetings.
I see very, very little participation anymore because I think people have just kind of given up because, you know, Minnesota looks like it's an absolute disaster loss cause because too many, quote, Republican leaders wanted to play it safe. And the other thing is the left plays for keeps. The liberals play for keeps. They pull out switchblades and they pull out brass knuckles and they are street fighting the whole way. And so what did they do? They took a page out of the gay community that went after Target. I'll tell you, go back to when Tom Emmer ran for governor and you had the gay community get outraged that Target made a donation that was going to help advance Tom Emmer's race. And Tom Emmer had made a vote for the marriage amendment when he was in the state house. Well, Target's interests were business interests. They wanted somebody who was going to have sane business policies that would benefit Target Corporation. They made the right decision to give money to Emmer versus his liberal opponent. But what happened? They should have stood strong. They didn't. They caved. And at that point, all the other business community in Minnesota said, hey, we don't want to get blackmailed by the gay community, and so we're going to close our checkbooks. Well, that was very effective warfare on the part of the gay community. That's what the gay community does.
What is the conservative response to that? What is the Republican supposed to do to that type of organizing, whether it's for against the gay marriage amendment or whatever you call it, the marriage amendment, or what?
I think what you're seeing is, I mean, the lack of economic activity in Minnesota is stunning. You know, like the governor will point to, well, look at our low unemployment rate, but look at our high lack of labor participation rate. We have the highest number of working age people who are able to work who aren't working anymore. And if you look around Minnesota, it's stunning. I spent, a long time traveling all across the United States, especially when I was running for President of the United States. I was stunned. Minnesota has hit the pause button on growth and on economic opportunity. We're here at the DoubleTree Hotel by Hilton in Bloomington.
Yeah, and I couldn't even remember.
If I look around this area... And the lack of economic growth. Are there new businesses, buildings? Yes, there are. But for where we're at and where we should be, it's stunning. You have a lot of new people coming into Minnesota who are unskilled, who are in need of state and government subsidies. You don't have people coming into Minnesota to start businesses. And I saw it beginning back in 2000, so about 15 years ago.
So what are Minnesota citizens supposed to do? Like what? And this is what
Stop
I'm talking about.
Stop voting for these liberals that are killing their life and killing the livelihood of their kids. I mean, I have talked to donors.
But why do they do that?
I've talked to donors for 15 years.
But I mean, why do they do that?
And the donor community has told me, look, my engineering company that my dad started, we're selling it off to some German company. We're selling it off to some Chinese. My kid is not going to take it over. You can't do business in Minnesota anymore. Minnesota is becoming a terrible place to do business. I don't care what these national magazines say for rankings. I'll tell you what I hear on the street. And when I was a member of Congress, I had a lot of these like medium and small business guys tell me, Michelle, I would never start my landscape business
again. So they're just pulling out and putting their money into Arizona.
Leaving.
So they're not contributing to...
No, no,
to Minnesota politicians?
Well, you can't afford to die in this state. You can't. You can't afford to pay the death tax in the state. So people leave and they move to Arizona, they move to Florida. So what we're losing is the brain power. The brain power is leaving this state.
But this doesn't, you're not addressing the question about organization.
What's your question?
Well, the question is, I'm saying you go to the meetings. If there's anybody at the meetings, they go home and don't do anything. And the biggest problem is you don't have people organizing to support the kind of conservative candidates you're talking about. I mean, you're stating facts.
What you're talking about is...
Where are the people, is what I'm saying. Where are all these conservatives?
The people will go if you have a leader. Number one, we don't have very many conservatives left. We have fewer... My contention is that we have fewer conservatives than any time since, like, the early 80s. We've gone backwards. And you go backwards, like I said to you before, when you're not on offense. So what you need is you need some individuals to rise up who are willing to be outspoken about organizing. I was involved in that effort back in 98 to 2000 when I didn't care about politics. I wasn't in politics. I was a foster mom. I raised our 5 biological kids with my husband and 23 foster kids. And the reason I got involved in politics is I saw this nonsense that our foster daughters brought home in the backpack. For 11th grade math class, they were coloring posters. They weren't learning math, they were coloring. How embarrassing, coloring, and you're in the 11th grade. And I thought, what is this nonsense? And I knew that what got me out of poverty was a decent education. So if anybody needed a leg up, it was these foster kids, and I was darn tootin' going to make sure that these kids had a decent education. So I got involved, and I looked at the federal government contracts, and I figured out on my own what the problem was in education. If you remember, if you were here, it was called the Profile of Learning.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the federal government coming into our local school classrooms and taking it over. And so once I had done all my research, I put together a 2-hour dog and pony show, and I went all across the state of Minnesota on my own dime, and I would drive to Thief River Falls and do a presentation like in a local armory or something, and maybe 100 people would show up. And so for 2 hours, I'm a federal tax lawyer, and so what I did is I put on a case. I had an overhead projector, and I had little transparencies, and I took actual documents from the federal, state, and local government, and curriculum, and testing, and I explained to people, this is what's happening to your kid in your local public schools. And it was like Democrats, Republicans, independents, apolitical people, they'd all show up in the gym because they'd heard of this profile of learning for their kid. They didn't know what it was. And I would explain to them and give them examples. So it's not Michelle Bachmann. It's real examples. This is what's happened to your kid. And what happened is two things happened. People said, first of all, not with my kid, you don't. And number two, they said, I have my pitchfork. Where do I sign up to do something about it? And so, I took everybody's contact information, and this organization called Maple River Education Coalition that became EdWatch formed, and it was really the precursor to the Tea Party. Because it was all across the political spectrum, and it was people saying, we're not going to do this nonsense. I even had the teachers' union on my side. And so what happened is, I think Tim Pawlenty won the governorship in 2000, I think. It was 2000 or 2002. I can't remember what. But I had been going all over the state for years, giving these basically free speeches. All of these people came together, and that was the number one issue, was getting rid of the profile of learning. What was remarkable is that the most expensive program that Minnesota engaged in the last 35 years was putting the profile of learning in place. In 5 years' time, we repealed the profile of learning. It was repealed, and a new set of standards went in. Now,
I don't mean to cut you off.
It was remarkable.
This is to the point of this question of organization.
Yeah. So I was one person who
did.
So
where
something.
Are those one person?
I don't know.
In the orange dress.
I don't know. All I can tell you is that for 17 years, I poured my life out for this state. Mm-hmm. I poured my life out as a mother, as a tax lawyer, who just, got up out of my little life. It was inconvenient. It was inconvenient for my family. But what I cared about were the kids in this state and what their lives were going to be. As a kid who benefited from a decent education and wanted the next generation to, but also as an employer, we were small business people. And I knew that this would kill the businesses in this state if you had kids who couldn't add and subtract and multiply and couldn't read. That would kill that. So that was my motivation. That was my incentive. And so I did something about it. And then because of that work I'd done going around the state, then my local community of Republicans drafted me to run for state senate. And I was drafted on the spot and defeated this guy. And then defeated him in a primary and then went on to win the general election. And then I served in the Minnesota State Senate for 6 years and then went to Congress. And all it was a matter of knowing who I was, knowing what I believed, and being willing to go out and advocate for it. I made the case, and I won my elections because that's what I did, and I worked extremely hard. And you need people who believe in something who will go out and make the case. And I'll tell you, I mean, I look about Minnesota, and I cannot believe the nonsense that has come out of our legislature. They are literally driving people. They're forcing people to leave the state. Because, and I'll, you know one place where I see it?
But the Republicans say, we're doing a pretty good job.
They're doing a terrible job. It's absolutely embarrassing. And one thing that I've seen, if you look at real estate, the high-end homes in this state are getting killed right now. It's really tough to move high-end homes. In the western part of the city over by Lake Minnetonka, that's still pretty strong. But in the rest of the state, it's really tough to move the high-end homes. Why? Because there's no high-end people coming in. Guess what you need to have jobs? You got to have some rich people if you want to have jobs. So you can be Bernie Sanders and rail against rich people all you want. And what's a rich person? Somebody that has more money than I do. And in Minnesota, we're killing job creation. Like if I go into a restaurant, I'll have the owner of the restaurant come over and tell me, we can't even keep our heads above water. Because in Minnesota, they've like quadrupled the number.
Well, they open and close.
You can't. And you know why? Because Minnesota has like quadrupled the number of inspectors. These state inspectors have to meet quotas to give fines. And they're putting these restaurants out of business. That's how mind-numbed we are in this state. All we do is create more and more government jobs to kill the private sector. And at a certain point, people say, nuts to that, I'm out of here. And so Minnesota better wake up.
So I know you. It's time for you to go. So, but.
Did we have fun?
I always have fun. No, I do.
But I always have fun talking to you.
All right.
And you didn't even scratch the surface.
Oh,
there's
no.
So
we
much
could
more
for
we're
going to
talk about. Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
So is this going to be it? I mean,
what?
I mean, you don't sound like a private citizen.
I'm still alive.
You still sound well engaged.
I spend as much, if not more, time being engaged and reading and understanding what's going on. And then what I do is I travel around the country and speak. And then try to, you know, explain, right. To give people context about what's going on.
Are you done with politics? Are you done with elections?
Well, I'm not today. I'm not running. I don't have a grand scheme. I never did. I never intended to run for office in the first place. I only did it because of what I believed in. And if I can't say what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, if God opens up a door and says, okay, time to run, then I guess I run. But it's not what I think about. I have no plan to ever run for office again.
Here's the thing about Congressman Michelle Bachmann. She'll be here long after everyone has left. In fact, she just wandered over there to continue talking to some folks, and she'll be here talking all night long. The tables are all cleared off. We have to get out of the big ballroom here at the Doubletree. Thanks again to Congressman Bachmann for spending some time to talk about politics in Minnesota, as well as politics at the federal level and what's needed to fight for the conservative cause. And I think it's an important message for people who are on that side of the aisle that want to hear someone who really brings the fire, because it seems to be missing, especially in Minnesota politics. Thanks to ex-government trucks in Forest Lake, Minnesota, now open if you're interested in a great selection of Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota trucks, and more. Check out the new ex-government truck Mega Truck Center at, are you ready? 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, or you can reach out at 763-777-8782. They have a great selection, and they get all levels of credit approved, and they also take trades. So don't forget, xgovernmenttrucks.com. Get your butt down to xgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake, and thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Also want to thank Eric and Aram Lucero, a husband and wife, licensed real estate agent team, and real estate investors to help you negotiate the risk that's out there, especially if you're buying your first home or you're looking for someone who is buying their first home. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com. Eric Lucero was here tonight, as a matter of fact. They're in the North and Northwest Metro. Here's the number, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100, PrideOfHomes.com and Luke Team Real Estate. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, don't forget Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's FAA approved. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com, right there at the top of the page. And thanks, Alpha, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast digital side. And thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. Ran into somebody tonight that just found the podcast on TuneIn. They love them. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com for the Mobile Podcast Command Center, which is going to be heading out in January and to cover various political events. I brought the vehicle tonight, so really appreciate the donations for Komodo Dragon coffee and beef jerky and fuel in the vehicle. So that is super cool. So thanks for listening to the podcast 427. Congressman Michelle Bachmann, it was great talking to her.